Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, for some reason I'm a little out of sync, a little distracted. I don't know exactly why, except that the enemy wants that. But I do ask, Father, that you will bless your word as it's presented, that you would carry your word, that you would be the one presenting the word, that each one of us here today in your house, it's such a privilege to be in your house. We've experienced recently not having that privilege to be able to come into your house and simply gather together with a peace and the confidence to worship you because of things that are going on like COVID-19. But being in your house, Father, what a blessing it is. And what it is, how much of a blessing it is to see each other and to recognize that bond that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ in your body. So help us to receive what you have for us today. Help us to walk away feeling fed and blessed and just glad to be here or to have been here, and with a praise on our hearts, Father, to honor you and to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been waiting anxiously for this day to come, and it's not exactly the way we would hope that it would be, but it is as it is, and I praise God that we are able to be here. And so we come, you know, some people will say, well, I don't need to have a church to worship God. That's true. People don't need to go to church to worship God. We're called to worship God every day. We're called to honor him, to bring him glory, to testify about who he is in our lives, to share with people how God is working, to help people realize that God is real and alive and relative to our lives, and that we can have a relationship with him that others need to have. And so as we live for Christ, and as we shine for Christ, and as we praise Christ, and as we give him honor and glory, that's all a form of worship that all of us have the opportunity to give. And that's vertical worship. And that comes in line with part of the message. We have the vertical worship of Christ. But that's not what God solely intended. We're going to look at the horizontal aspect of worship as well. Our experiences in our life with God should always and naturally draw us to worship God. I mean, when God answers a prayer, and we see it. This morning, Kathy lost her phone. As insignificant as that might seem in lieu of everything in life, when you lose your phone, you know, you're like, where's my phone? You know? So we prayed, and we said a quick prayer. Said, Lord, just let us find the phone, okay? And within 2 minutes, we found it after some time of looking for it. So God honored that. God blessed that, and you know, we thank God for that. That's a testimony, if you will. That's a testimony of saying, I'm relying on God. I've done that many times. Lord, just help me to find whatever. And he's helped me. And as he realizes that I'm relying on him. But what I want us to consider this morning, that as we've come together to worship the Lord, that even with the distractions of the taped off pews and the sanitizers and the masks and all of those things that are abnormal to us, out of our natural culture and way of doing things, I want us to understand that even in the midst of the oddities that we're facing, those things, again, should not interrupt us from worshiping God and honoring him. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I've been thinking about this passage of Scripture. I'd been going over my message and praying over my message, in particular over the last few days, and this one passage of Scripture kept coming to my mind. And so I said, okay, Lord, you want it to be part of the message, then that's what you're telling me. So I want to read to you an example of glorifying God, praising God in an environment that is not customary, that is not usual, that is not pleasant, that is not easy and peaceful, but that is an environment that is confronting, that is threatening, that is definitely uncomfortable. And I want us to look at Paul and Silas. They had been thrown in prison for doing the work of God. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And so that verse right there, we need to hold on to. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You read that text beforehand, they were thrown into prison. Now, you know, if you've studied your Bible or any type of biblical history, prisons were not like our prisons today. They were filthy. They didn't have sanitary conditions. They didn't have restrooms. It was disease infested, bug infested, dark, dungy, moldy, stinky. You can go down the list. No comforts, none whatsoever. And verse 26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Because the Roman soldier that let the prisoners loose knew that the punishment for that by Roman law was that he would be killed. So he said, "I might as well get it over with now." And they intervened and said, "Stop." And so then in verse 29 it says, "And when he called for a light, ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas." Now, do you get that for a moment? I didn't catch that before, but I just now caught it. Then he called for a light. So they're not only in prison in a dungeon-type environment or pit or whatever. They're in darkness. I don't like sitting in darkness at all. And so the guard had called for light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Why would the prisoner ask Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" He knew the condition they were in. They had been stripped of their clothes. They had been beaten. They had been thrown into the horrible conditions that were surrounding them. But at midnight, they were singing praises to God. They were worshiping God. Their backs were probably flayed with being beaten with rods. And so they were sitting there praising God for what God had done. And that was bewildering to the guard, to the soldier. And yet the soldier saw that testimony, and the power of it was impacting on him, so much so that he came back and he asked him, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And that's what we want to happen in our lives. We want to be the type of people that no matter what the uncomfortable, unjust, irritating circumstances are that we face, that we can be a people of praise, that we can be a people of prayer, we can be a people that stand in power on the rock of Jesus, we can be whom God has called us to be even more, we have a greater opportunity right now. Paul and Silas had a great opportunity in the prison. They're praising God. They're sitting in darkness. They're in their circumstance. That was an opportunity to reflect their love for God, their faith in God, their confidence in God, and their resolve to trust God and to have comfort with him. And so the soldier obviously said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." That's what we want people to do in response to our witness. We want people to see Jesus in us and the joy of Jesus in us and not be squinched by everything that's going on, that they might take note to that and begin to ask questions. And that we might be able to share with them what it means to receive Christ as their Savior in order to be saved and how to do that. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. When I was a young Christian, when I had first received Christ as my Savior, I was 13, when in a formal setting receiving Christ, I remember those last words, "You and your household." My family was lost. I went home and told my mother what had happened, that I received Christ, and she thought I stepped into a cult. My family was lost. My family, for the most part, all of them but one that I know of, that have all passed away, are in heaven today, because of their faith in Jesus. So praise God for that. So I want to share that, you know, it's been so taxing. I know on my life that it's been a very taxing thing, the things that we've been going through. I was reading from a pastor in Arizona, I believe it is, and he was telling me and telling others he had on Facebook that these are hard times and difficult times, but they're hard and difficult times also for pastors and pastors that are trying to take care of the flock, trying to hold things together the best they can as a leader. So these are difficult times, but in the midst of the difficulty, we have opportunity, just like Paul and Silas, to praise God, to honor God, to be that positive witness in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on, that others might see Jesus in us and ask, why do we have such peace? And so we can have that vertical relationship with Christ in a public way. We can worship God and sing hymns to God and all of that, that people identify and see the difference of God in our life compared to theirs. That's that vertical worship. And our experiences of salvation and life with God will naturally draw us to worship Him. If we're focused on Him, loving Him, relying on Him, receiving His counsel, hearing what He has for us to say, then in that we, each one of us, have the opportunity and the response of worshiping God. Of worshiping God. In Psalm 41 through 3, King David had been rescued by God. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Have we not been waiting? And are we not still continuing to wait? I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of destruction, out of the sticky mud. He stood me on a rock and made my feet steady. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many people will see this and worship Him. Then they will trust the Lord. I want us to go back over that real quickly. I waited patiently for the Lord. We must wait on the Lord. Just because we want things done the way we want them done immediately in our time schedule, sometimes God says you got to wait. Sometimes God says we have to wait on Him. And so wait patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. We know God hears our cry, but He also at some point will reveal that He has heard our cry. He has heard our plea. And that will be assuring to us. In verse 2, it says, He lifted me up out of the pit of destruction. Do we not kind of feel that way today? That all the chaos that's going on around our country, through our country, and around the world is like a pit of destruction. Not only just because of what we're facing today, but just in the reality of the darkness of sin and the progressiveness of society to embrace everything that's ungodly. And yet God has called us to stand strong and to rely on Him, that He will lift us up out of the pit of destruction, out of the sticky mud. You feel that way? Feel stuck in the sticky mud, the grime? I feel that way. Feel like I'm stuck in a circumstance I have no control over. You know what? I don't. But God does. God does. He stood me on a rock and made my feet steady. We don't have to feel overwhelmed. We don't have to feel that we are being dominated and robbed. But what we can do is rely on Him and stand on the rock and be made steady in Him. Because that steadiness was reflected with Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas continued the steadiness of their faith in God, their stand on Him, their dependence on Him, their trust that whatever He allowed for a reason, and they were willing to be used as a testimony to God. He put a new song in my mouth. Isn't that wonderful? We're talking about praising God. They're praising God in the dungeon or in the prison. David was praising God with a new song. He's saying, David's saying, look, out of all the horrible stuff I was in, I was stuck in mud and I had no hope. You pulled me out of the sticky mud. You put me on top of a rock. You brushed me off. You made me steady. You made me secure. You gave me what I needed and you put a new song on my mouth. Don't be afraid to create your own song, you know, and worship the Lord. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many people will see this and worship Him, then they will trust the Lord. Isn't that what we want to see? That people will see the song in our heart, the joy in our heart, the security we have, the stance that we have in Christ, and our total surrender to trust God. It's those type of perspectives, those type of viewpoints that will enable us to help us to focus as we ought to be able to have the right thinking during difficult times. His rescue by God would not only cause him to worship, but it would cause others to worship as well. Others would come to know Christ as their Savior. Others will come to put their faith in the God of David. Others will come to put their faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is God in the flesh. And so we need to remember that our witness will have an effect that will bring honor and glory to God if our focus and heart is fixed as God would have it to be. And so when we praise him for this, we praise him publicly. You know, and we can share in here. We can share testimonies. We can encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ whenever we're together. But that is not sharing publicly. And by that, we need to be willing to share with those that God brings into our lives and not hold back from saying, God did something for me today. I want to tell you about it. And just reflect on that and let them hear the reality of the life of Jesus in us. When we praise God for what he has done, we share God publicly, and we cause what is the horizontal effect of worship. You and I can worship God one-on-one, any day, any moment, any minute, any time. But to worship God horizontally is what we're doing right now. But it's not constricted to right now and here. It's meant to go beyond these four walls. It's meant to go out into the lives of the people that God brings into our lives, that they might see Jesus in us. So, having said that, I've asked a couple people if they'd be willing to share a testimony, a short testimony of praise. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity. If God so puts it on your heart that he wants you to share, then I'll give you that opportunity to do so. So I'm going to ask Debbie to come on up and share the testimony that God has laid on her heart to share.
I actually, when Pastor called me, didn't have any idea what he was talking about. I didn't know what to say or what to do. Or can you come say something about praise? Well, I was thinking about it all week, or actually, I guess Wednesday, whatever. And I was thinking, well, you don't want to hear about the things I praise God about, because we all have those lists. Usually when I praise the Lord during prayer time or singing even, whatever, usually, I have a list. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my friend. I praise you that you've given me a church to belong to. And now especially for my friends. I miss my friends so much. And the friends especially that God's given me to encourage me all the time. They're the ones kind of hold me up. But I think all of us do that. We have all, it's like keeping a journal of thankfulness. I praise God for seeing Miss Sherry here today. And it's just a lot of things that you just have a kind of a list. So then I thought, nobody wants to hear that because you all do that. And this is what God put on my heart. Like you said, it wasn't anything that I did. I don't know if you've noticing, if you have the YouVersion Bible, the last couple 3 days have had verses in it about calmness and peace. So first of all, I want to tell you that I praise God, first of all, for saving me. His saving grace is beyond, there's no way you can pay him back enough for his saving grace. So when I was 10, I accepted that gift of grace. And that's the first thing I praise him for. And with that goes his relationship with me. And I wanted to tell you, I have a closer relationship with the Lord through his word than through prayer. And I know that's not good to say, but I am a reader and I love to read God's word and have it speak to me. So sometimes when I'm praying, verses come up in my head. So that's kind of what happened when I started writing about his grace to me. And all I could think about is his constant care over me all my life. And I have not been through the struggles you have been through. And I've not, you know, had dire things happen to me. As I've had my heart hurt a lot of times. And sometimes that's worse than anything. But I know I haven't cut my finger off. So I think I'm very, very blessed by that. But his saving grace comes with his care. So I experienced that each day of my life, and it seems that while I was kind of sitting there thinking of what I'm going to tell you, verses came to mind, like I told you. So the verses that were in YouVersion this week were amazing. There were three of them about his care and peace for you, and I think it's appropriate for this time that he wants everyone to be peaceful and calm. The whole nation is in an uproar, and that's kind of what we're going to be praying about Sunday, this afternoon, everybody praying for our city and our nation. But anyway, so I got to thinking about those verses. So the verses that were in YouVersion this past week, Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And then one of my favorites too is Matthew 6:25. I think this was yesterday, day before yesterday. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more worth more than food, and the body more than clothing? The verses, I can tell you, that I write down almost always have to do with what God has done for me. And the one that, this is just one that I keep there by my, I think I filled this one up. Yeah, this one. But the first verse that I opened up to, just I was thinking, oh, there must be one in here. Opened up to one. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and to be thankful. And I thought of today, we are members of one body. I'm just so happy that the body's back together. That was a verse that I just opened up to. In my daily, calendar? Yesterday and today, there were two verses. I'll read today's verse. Psalm 62:6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. All calming verses. And I haven't even got to my favorite ones. These are only a couple more. If anybody ever asks me what my favorite verse in the Bible is, I always say, that's my favorite. I have so many favorites. But this is one that comes to mind every time. Isaiah 43:1-3. And it's 1b through 3a. So anyway, it's not all the words that are there. Fear not. Actually, he's talking to Israel here. But I take it to my own self. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I love that. He knows me personally, and he's called me personally. I'm his. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. And then Psalm 44:8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Isaiah 26:3. This verse has kept me through a lot of trouble in my life. Seems like I've been in a lot of trouble, but not obviously the trouble that you've had, but in my mind, I've had a lot of trouble that I needed to be comforted for. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That means trusting in God, thinking about him all the time. He's the one who's going to keep our peace in these times when it's so crazy, he can keep your peace. And the last one is Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. When I read that, I kind of think about a mom or dad, of course, like putting their little one down to sleep, and they might have had a nightmare or something, and that's kind of how we are. We're kind of anxious during these times, but he's calming you with his love. He's singing over you like a mother would sing you to sleep, a nursery rhyme that would calm you. He's the one that we go to for peace. So it's not about praise. I praise him for God's word, basically. And I wanted to say one more thing. If I praise him through music a lot. When I hear a song on the radio or we're up here, whatever, and I can't help but raise my hand, God is good, so good. I just want to let you know, when I do that in the car, just wave back to me. Because I've noticed people waving, and I always thought, I don't know that person. But anyway, sometimes I'm just like that in the car. Okay, thank you.
Now I know you're not waving, but if you ever get compelled while you're driving to do this.
No.
Stan, you want to come on up, please?
Good morning, everyone. It's so great to see you all here. I'm not as eloquent, but I don't have to be. Like Debbie, my primary praise is for my salvation. I accepted God at the age of 14 and have done a lot of wandering to him and away from him over the years. I guess my biggest praise is to be here with you guys this morning after that. And that my grandson is here with me. Recently I retired. That was kind of a scary thing for me. But God told me to do it. And was over with mom when all of this started. The COVID stuff. And kind of caught me off balance, but I knew that God had me where he wanted me. And being over there, he used me to minister for others who didn't need to be out in the public. And got to witness to some folks, got to become friends with other Christians over there. It's great to see God's work wherever we go. As far as, and I didn't think about doing that until you got up here, Debbie, but for me, the Bible verse that lifts me up the most verses is 23rd Psalms. I will not fear. I'll just read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In our trying times right now, that strength and that comfort that those verse gives me, I have no fear. I fear for others, you know. I don't want anyone that I love to get sick. But at the same time, I know that all of this is in God's perfect hands, and his perfect will is going to be done. And I am grateful for that.
I praise God for the dependence and the comfort we get from his word, and praise God for the reality that God's in control and that we have his security in our lives. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything at all this morning? Okay. Let me ask you, is it encouraging to hear the testimonies? Is it? It should be, because that's why we're here. God's called us to come together into his house to encourage each other. We need the encouragement. And that's why God's called us together. We can do the vertical stuff, vertical worship. God called us to horizontal worship. He's called us to be connected together, gathered together, to love each other, encourage each other, help each other, direct each other, whatever it is that we need to be the people God has called us to be. And so I praise God for that. And so I want to thank you, Debbie, for sharing. Thank you, Stan, for sharing. Even though we have things like social distancing, we have the horizontal worship that can be done in so many different ways. I mean, we can encourage each other through a Facebook post. We can encourage each other through just talking to each other like we are standing around. But, you know, if we want to go by guidelines that drive us crazy, you know, you can do it from the 6-foot guideline thing, but you can still encourage each other. We can talk to each other on the phone. And encourage, we need to encourage each other, but being together here, there's where real encouragement comes. God can work through any way to encourage us, but just being together in God's house, honoring him, brings great encouragement to us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. I really feel that here. I feel like we're seeking the comfort, and God's giving us comfort through testimony, through being together. God's using us to build each other up, to be strong in our faith, right? To edify one another, just as we are doing. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. Paul calls us to build each other up. And we need this, especially during this time. We need to come around, gather around one another, one way or another, to be a voice that God uses to encourage and to build each other up. The COVID-19 a virus, as you know, has caused many people to be very, very nervous. And we need to just ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God to help us to be sensitive and show respect to one another wherever we stand in this. Respect one another and do the things that we know that we need to do to be that encouragement or be that support or be that recognition that God wants us to have for one another. Some people think that we can worship on our own. Obviously, we don't need a physical church, right? And I've already stated that, but I want us to look at Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, and let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works. We're to stir up love for each other. We're to seek those good works that God would have us to do. When we're encouraged because we can sense and see and experience the love that we have for each other, that's a good thing. That's a good work. And there are many good works that God has for us to do. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we know in our own personal lives, there's times when we miss church, there's times when circumstances come, but so long as we're not embracing that as a norm, right? So long as we're not embracing that as a norm, that we've just said, I don't need church anymore, then we're okay. And the same is with dealing with all these things, allowing us to even go to church, that we've endured for a short amount of time, and now we're in church. We've never resolved that we weren't going to go to church. In fact, if anything, we resolved that we won't allow it to happen for long, because we know that not being together is hurting the body of believers. It's not glorifying to God. It's not enhancing and the effectiveness of God's kingdom work through the local church and through the body of believers. But I will say this, it has put a hunger on our heart to be here, to be together. It has put I would think it's given us a greater appreciation for the ministry that we've done for so many years that all of a sudden was not allowed to be done. It's given us an appreciation, maybe an opportunity to be creative for the things that are yet to come. We don't know what this year ahead and what restrictions we're going to have, but we know we still have the Great Commission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul reminded us that time is running out. In his day, so many centuries ago, Paul said we are in the last days. And we are to encourage each other to do the good works that God has for us to do. That's ongoing amongst God's people. And even amongst, and especially amongst these times, we are to bear witness to Christ. I have it on my heart to share also, Olin's brother is leading up a task force to go to San Jose and to work as CHPs to help control riding and those type of things. He's down there this morning. But I know that Chris is a committed, godly Christian man. I know he's a man of strong faith. So I know that as he plows through whatever circumstances there, the light and the love that he has for Christ is going to be evident. And that's going to encourage other people, people that know him and maybe people that don't. But that's part of doing the good works. He may be praising God for circumstances that God carried him through and during this time. Who knows? But I know Chris will praise God. And I know that he will seek his will. And I know that his heart is genuine toward the Lord. And that's how people need to see us. They need to see all of us being that much more prominent in our culture today, standing for Christ. Things might be done differently. Most probably they will be done differently and yet to come. The ministries that we have, the things that we've set up and worked so hard for, the dynamics are probably going to change, at least for a while. But we're still called to encourage and to edify one another, and we're called to share our experiences. That's why I asked for testimonies. I want us to see, when we share what God is doing in our lives, it encourages us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we definitely need that encouragement. When we fellowship together, when we talk together, we also learn of one another's needs. And in that, we encourage each other. The other night, we were on our Thursday night Bible study. And before we came on, I was having some difficulties with even just talking clearly. And Tim asked me, said, "You okay, Pastor?" And you know what? That touched me. Thank you. Because he noticed. I said, "No, I'm just as wacko as ever. You know, just one of those days." You know. But it touched me because that's part of brotherhood and brotherhood, family in Christ, right? Is to care for each other. And so when we're around each other and we're encouraging and we're edified, building up, and we share our experiences with each other, then we begin to know the needs. We know what to pray for each other. So we come together in worship, we come together fellowshipping, talking together, learning of one another's needs, to encourage each other, and to share even more praise to bring God the glory. We on a daily basis are called to walk in a vertical worship with God, but as a people, not as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to horizontally praise God together and worship God together. And much more than that, we as God's people are to go beyond these walls, not just share with each other, but share with those that are around us our relationship with Jesus and a heart of praise and thanksgiving and trust and faith and assurance and stability and courage and all the things that we need to be God's people, especially during these times. So beyond the vertical horizontal worship, remember that. Remember that your impact is significant on a world that we live in. Your impact, how you share. Sometimes we think, well, we're not ready to share. Sometimes we think, well, it sounds a little bit too religious to say, I want to, God did this for me today. People are going to judge me for saying God. That's exactly what the enemy does. The enemy wants to make us feel restrained from speaking truth about who God is and what he has done in our lives. Let me close with this verse, with this passage. In Isaiah 12, 3-5, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." We heard testimony just from Steve and Debbie, from Debbie and Stan being up here. their testimony about being saved. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. That's why we do it. Make mention of God and his interaction in your life, that his name might be exalted. And look at this. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. So as we rejoice in our salvation, we rejoice, and that salvation is not just eternal salvation, but the saving hand of God's workmanship in our lives as we face each circumstance every day of our lives. We can praise God for that, but we are to make it known to people around us. It says, peoples, declare his deeds among the peoples, all people, that his name might be exalted. And you know the result will be God will put a song on our heart. If people see you and I with a joy or a song, a steadfast faith in our heart during these times, do you not think it might be an opportunity for people to see Jesus more clearly through our lives? I think so. Just like Paul and Silas, it's an opportunity to shine bright against the odds. You and I are called to shine bright against the odds that we face today. So with that, just hold on to God, let him be your solid rock. Rejoice, share, and praise God with your heart, with your lips, and may he be glorified. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I want to thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for the things that you do, the way you orchestrate things. But I want to thank you that each one of us, as we've come together in your house, that we have seen, I pray, how important it is for us to be here. How important it is to just give that presence of just support for one another. A unified body that helps solidify us even that much more in our faith. So we don't feel like we're just out there alone on our own trying to make a stand or trying to just make it through this. But that we can know that we are not alone, first and foremost, because you're with us and because you've put other brothers and sisters in our lives to encourage us, to build us up, and to help us to sing songs of praise to you. Now, Father, I pray that you honor this and maybe walk with you right in front of us. Maybe walk with assurance. Maybe walk without anxiety. Your word has told us that we are to be anxious for nothing. We are to make our requests known to you with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will be ours. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing the doxology as a closing. Just praise the Lord. We're spread out enough. We can do that and sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise
God bless you. Have a really wonderful day and week.